Welcome back to the Business of Government Now. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Jack Martin. Jack's the Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Education, and joining us in our conversation is Deborah Cameron. Well, Jack, I'm curious. I noticed that the CFO position at the department had been vacant for a while, so I'm just curious, how important is it to have a CFO?
I think given the fact that a significant portion of Ed's budget and financial responsibilities reside with our performance-based organization, FSA, it was very important that a senior officer be appointed to have the clout to work with the PBO and other department offices to achieve the goals set by president and secretary. I think without a CFO, you didn't have a person there that could bring all of the disparate interests together toward the common focus of the clean opinion and the implementation of Oracle and the other things that we've accomplished in the last 18 months. So you can have individuals acting, but I don't think they command the attention that a person that's been confirmed and is firmly in place would command.
You've really focused on leveraging technology within the department and to improve financial management. Can you talk about how it's changed the way you've done business?
I think technology has played a major role in improving the way the department does its business. For example, the department uses an electronic payment system for all its grants. I think we're ahead of most other cabinet agencies in this regard. Also, the department installed a new financial management system, Oracle, which has improved our capacity for management and external reporting. Further, the department used an automated tool to reconcile its cash activity, which has been recognized as a best practice. So I think all of these coming together has put us in a position where we can look forward to, many years of strong financial management.
You told us about how the users got more comfortable with the systems as they got more training, but how about how the employees dealt with the new technology in terms of requiring new skills and new learning on their part in terms of their job?
I think that what we have had on many occasions is online training for IT security, for travel, for any areas that we think apply either to the managed group or to employees across the department. We have gone to mandatory training where we track who's completed the training and who has not.
You know, I'm curious, Jack, there are still a number of federal agencies that are struggling with legacy financial management systems. And what advice would you have for CFOs and other departments to get approval for purchasing a new financial management system or getting it implemented? What guidance or lessons learned do you have?
Well, I think that I think at education, as you may know, we had two system disasters before we finally successfully implemented Oracle. And I think that for those agencies, departments that haven't gone through what we've experienced, I think they would be useful for them to talk to us or talk to other departments that have had successful implementations. I think we have at least one working group for Oracle that meets regularly and tells stories about best practices and what one needs to do to have a successful implementation.
What are the next challenges that are on the horizon for the department?
I think getting FSA off the GAO high risk list is a major challenge that we're all rallying to accomplish. Consolidating the FSA and department core accounting systems, we'll be looking at 11i in terms of doing that. Completing a data standardization project, which will give us performance data to see how well our programs are working and moving to green on the OMB status scorecard. Our program data typically lags significantly the time that we need to report in the performance and accountability report, so that's a major challenge that we have to address, and it's being addressed.
And do you have working groups focused on those as well?
Yes.
Similar to the management improvement team?
Right.
What's your vision for Ed in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I may be biased, but I think I can say that Ed's operating environment is world-class at this point. We highly leverage technology and human capital in performing our mission. As we support our program offices in their implementation of the No Child Left Behind Act and the other programs, VOCAD and the others, I hope we achieve the goals outlined in our strategic plan and the President's commitment to close the achievement gap for all students in this country.
You've had a very interesting career. Now you're in the public sector. I'm curious, what advice would you give to a person perhaps starting a career and interested in the public sector?
Well, I would say, you know, as I have done, I think it's important that one be committed to public service. I think all professionals should devote a part of their career to helping others in the community who are less fortunate. Firmly believe that I've done it and practice it for over 25 years. I think that's important. It's important to me when I look at managers.
Do you think it's important also to, or your experience has been to move across the sectors? Do you think that's part of a person's experience?
I think it's useful to me. When I left the practice of consulting accounting, it was kind of like a respite to come into my last appointment at the Department of Health and Human Services, to come into the government and just do something different. And I think even in my present job as CFO at Education, I think this is something I never, being a chief financial officer, worrying about financial statements and the like, is something I never thought I would be doing 3 or 4 years ago. I thought that was long past. I haven't been in a job like this in probably 18 years. So it's refreshing, and it's good to learn and understand best practices. I think one detriment to being a small business person is that you really don't get as involved with the state-of-the-art technology and all of the things that you experience in a major corporation. And I think that's so, from that standpoint, I think it's, I was happy to do this, even at this stage of my career. It's, you're never too old to learn and experience new things.
How does your previous experience at HHS help you for this job?
That experience at HHS was totally unrelated to this experience. At HHS, I was a chairman of they call it a quasi-judicial board, so I was essentially an administrative law judge. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting because I had a staff of, I think, about 60 lawyers and accountants, five-member board. I was the chairman. I had my own building. And so it was the only time I had to talk to anybody at the department was if I had an issue. So basically their main interest was my reducing our caseload, which I think when I arrived was about 10,000 cases going back 10 years or so. And I think we got it down to 6 or 7 while I was there. So,
what skills do you think a young person would need coming into the federal government? What kind of training should they get?
I think for the financial management area, obviously very good computer skills. I, as a CPA, I think I would say it's great to have some private sector experience if you can do that. Some experience in auditing, I think it makes one a better professional if you can have a range of experiences under your belt before you start progressing into various levels of management. And I always say about General Motors, it was, you know, I was there 4 years. It was a great place to learn how to do things right. And so to this day, I appreciate that experience.
Well, Jack, I'm afraid we're out of time. Deborah and I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And if people are interested, how might they get more information about
it? Go to our website, www.ed.gov, and you can receive information on our grants, our strategic plan, the Secretary's Blueprint for Management Excellence, and all the other great things we're doing at education.
Thank you, Jack. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Jack Martin, the Chief Financial Officer of the U.S. Department of Education. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can also get a transcript of today's conversation. Again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.